We cannot do anything to please the Lord without faith. And so everything that God has put on my heart to preach in the past month and going forward has to do with our faith. And if we have faith, what should that look like in us? And so let's get started. Scripture is full of wisdom that's purpose is to lead us closer and closer to God. And my hope is that each Sunday you will receive just that. You will receive wisdom and direction to grow closer and closer to God. Many times now I've quoted the scripture that says, on that day many will say, Lord, Lord. And what will Jesus say to them? In that specific scripture, it says, Jesus will say to them, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. And I've pointed out that how he never knew them, the Lord who knows everything, is that their heart was never his. They did everything. They went to church on Sunday. They read scripture. They memorized it. They tied it to their foreheads. They did everything for what people saw of them. It was all superficial. Inside, their heart was never Jesus's. It never belonged to him. So with this scripture in mind, I feel strongly this year that I need to preach more of the Word of God that says what we should look like as Christians. What our hearts should be like, what our actions should be like, what our habits should be like, because we've set our heart on God. The scripture that keeps coming to mind and I see everywhere I look is Lord, Lord, and what Jesus says afterwards. And if I'm truly doing my job as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, what should I be doing? Should I be telling everybody, say these words and you're good, you're going to heaven? Or should I be saying that there needs to be a transformation in your heart? And if there's not a transformation in your heart has not been given to Jesus. When we focus on a lot of the laws of Scripture, we become legalistic. And we don't want to forget grace. So in all of this, remember that we have grace. Jesus knows who we are. He knows everything we're going to do right and everything we're going to do wrong. He knows why we're going to do it, and he knows what led to it. And he's covered a lot of things. He's covered everything from beginning to end in that time that he spent on the cross. But what it takes from us is a desire to follow. So, the basis of our message today is, how can I be sure Jesus will know me when I knock on the gates of heaven? As I stated earlier, Scripture is full of wisdom from God that's intended to lead us closer and closer to Him. So let's look through Scripture and see what it says about knowing and being confident in our salvation and entrance into heaven when that day comes. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you have eternal life. Number one is, no one enters heaven except through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is part of our Trinity, our three in one. And with that knowledge, he cannot and will not lie. So in his written scriptures, it says that no one comes to the Father except through him. So no matter what the world is saying, we have to understand that no one will get into heaven except through Jesus Christ. These things are for believers in the birth, the death, the resurrection of God's perfect Son, Jesus. The hard truth is that people who don't believe in the Messiah will not enter heaven. Salvation is for believers in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, it's not enough to just believe that Jesus existed and walked on earth. Non-religious artifacts and historical logs have been found that prove that. Lots of people believe that Jesus walked on earth. But you must believe in your heart so completely that it comes out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That he is part of our triune God. That he will be the final judge. That he is your Savior, having done what you could not do on your own. The verse continues, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You have to understand and accept into your heart that God knew mankind could not overcome the temptations of the world, and so he sent Jesus to pay our debt and redeem our souls so we could be in paradise with him. Verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin, and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. Jesus said, if you deny me, depending on which version you're reading of Scripture, some of them say, if you're embarrassed by me before people, I will deny you or be embarrassed of you before my Father. Jesus is saying, you either love me or you don't. If your plan is to love me in secret, well, then I guess you don't really love me. And your heart was never mine. No heart set apart from Jesus will enter the gates of heaven. Don't deny your confidence, but don't put your pearls to the pigs. So I have a story to share with you on what this looks like. I was having a conversation with somebody once. Only once. No, I'm just kidding. And actually, this person came to me. Knowing who I was, this person came and sat down and said, well, it doesn't matter what he said, but he spilled his guts to me. And he shared with me all the things that he had done that were damaging his family. And he said, what's your thoughts? And I sat there and I thought, and I prayed, and I said, you openly profess to not believe what I believe. So I don't know if I can help you right now, because what I'm about to tell you, you don't believe. And as he sat there and looked at me, he went back and forth between denying that God exists and wanting my help. And so I talked to him a little bit about who God is to me, the changes that he made in my life, and how it affected the way I treat other people. And I said to him, you know, when God comes into your heart and you really recognize that he is real and not just something that people talk about, it changes you on the inside. Until you understand that, you're never going to understand what I'm saying. He's still looking. But in past experiences with this person, where I tried to tell him what was different in my life, it became a game for him. So when Scripture says don't throw your pearls to the pigs, it doesn't mean don't tell people what you believe. But it means don't let all the miracles, all the things that you've seen God do in your life be devalued by somebody who doesn't believe yet. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in him, We're stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ. You were stamped as owned and protected by God. Sometimes in the Amplified Bible, there's a lot of explanation that goes along with the scripture. And this one repeats over and over again, stamped. And so what came to my mind when I was reading through this scripture was in Revelations, and it's the mark of the beast that's on the hand or on the forehead of all those who will accept it and be separated from God for all of eternity. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about the still small voice in you, the Holy Spirit working in your heart. That is your confirmation that you have set your heart on Jesus because He sent the Holy Spirit to be in you. That's your stamp. The Spirit is the guarantee, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession, His believers, to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. When something worldly draws your attention and you sense that it's not right, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit working in you, guiding you. He's your confirmation. When you do something with haste and then regret it, that's the Holy Spirit pulling your heartstrings. The Holy Spirit in you is your guarantee. Now, not everyone regrets decisions that they've done. And not everyone who does regret choices made believes in Jesus. But know this, the Holy Spirit will guide a believer's heart, even if it's shaky in faith, until that person pushes so far into worldly ways that the Spirit is grieved because he's no longer welcomed in a heart that will never turn back. That's the unpardonable sin. Ephesians 2:8 through 9, for it is by grace God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ. In all of this, we need to remember that it's not by our own works, our good deeds, that we're saved. It's not by any act of ours, but it is solely a gift from God that we are saved by the work of Jesus. And because we recognize His love and mercy, we then choose to surrender our lives as we once knew them and follow Jesus. The verse continues, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Key verse. Through all of this, keep this in your heart. It's through grace that we've received salvation. If we were to start thinking that our obedience and good deeds were necessary to earn our salvation, we'd be guilty of adding to the written word of God. Scripture states that salvation is a gift given by Jesus that we could never earn ourselves. Salvation is a gift that when truly received, affects the heart in such a way that it longs to please the one who saved it from the heartache that we deserve. Matthew 24:11-13. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many. A false prophet is described in the Bible as one who distorts the written word of God to please the people and claims that the change is of God. But the Bible is promised to be the unchanging word of God. So this is a lot of information. And it's going to continue just like this. Try to pay attention as much as you can. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will draw your attention to the pieces you need today. But it's important when we're listening to people share the word of God. One, that we're reading the word of God too. So that we know when what they're saying is actually in the Word of God Or it is their interpretation of what's in the Word of God. It's important for you to be in the Word of God, even when you come here or any other church on Sunday morning, so that when I stand up here and I step away from the words of God and I start sharing with you how they apply, that if you're reading the Word of God and it doesn't set right with you, that's the Holy Spirit in you saying, this is not of God. And you've got to remember that we're all humans here. We're all people. We're all flawed. And if you're not in the written Word of God on your own, I could stand up here and I could lead you straight into hell. And you'd have no clue. That's not my goal. But my point is to say, you need to be in the Word of God so that you know when somebody's misleading you. And in the Word of God, it talks over and over and over again about false prophets. People turning the Word of God so that it makes people feel better. But it's not the Word of God anymore because it's been twisted to mean something different. Verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. When we, the people who are supposed to be standing on the Word of God, pick and choose and consequently leave out parts of God's Word, we create lawlessness. Everything is okay, and that causes hearts to grow cold and stop caring. In the Bible, in Scripture, it talks about the lawlessness of end times, and we're heading into a lawless state that will probably spread across our country. Verse 13, but the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This is huge. The one who hears God's word, sets it in their heart, and holds to it no matter what the world is doing, that person will be saved. Why? Because of what they're doing? No. They're saved because of what Jesus did. But the purpose of this scripture is to show that they were following. We still have to follow Jesus to heaven. There's a couple of stories that I'm tempted to share now. So I'm gonna. The scriptures show people following Jesus and then turning and walking away. Okay. It does. Look at Judas. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He was one of the disciples that were sent out with the Holy Spirit to pray for people and see them healed. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. And what did the end of his life look like? He turned from Jesus. We have the rich young ruler in Scripture that knew there was something special about this man and went to him. A young ruler who tells people what to do and they do it. Went to Jesus and said, what do I need to get into your kingdom? When Jesus told him, what did he do? Turned around and he walked away. We can know Jesus. We can know him. We can have the Holy Spirit upon us. It's shown in Scripture that we can turn and walk away. And why did I stop right now to share that? Because there's denominations that say it's not possible. But Scripture shows us it is. And I'm sure if you think about it, you've probably met people that you've seen amazing things happen in their lives. And they're not following Jesus anymore. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So this is the hard truth that we're addressing today. We know and expect those who are blatantly against God to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We get that. But what's the hard truth? The hard truth is that people are going to go and stand before Jesus and think that they did all the right things and find out in that moment that they never set their heart on Him and they're not getting in. Jesus tells us that there will be people who think they're going to heaven based on the evidence of what they've done in their lives. But Jesus is going to tell them, "Away from me, I never knew you. Your heart was never mine." If I'm doing my job as a pastor, I'm going to be pointing out now what needs to happen for you not to be one of those who experience this response. What's in your heart matters. Hebrews 10:26-27. "For if we go on willfully and deliberately sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice to atone for our sins." None of us is perfect. We all still sin, right? We understand that Scripture identifies that we will never be perfect in this earth, in this world. Our righteousness will come when we see Jesus face to face. Until then, we're able to go to our Father through the righteousness of Christ, because He has set His righteousness upon us. A lot of times I think of it like a coat, or like in the prodigal son, the robe that the father wrapped around the son. The son had come from a pig pen. You can only imagine the mess he must have looked like. And the father, of nobility, comes and takes his robe off and wraps it around his son to cover over everything, to identify his worth again. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Verse 27, "But a kind of awful and terrifying expectation of divine judgment and fury of a fire and burning wrath which will consume the adversaries, those who put themselves in opposition to God. Those who separate themselves from God during their life will find themselves separated from Him for all eternity. If anyone's heart is not set on Jesus as Lord and Savior, then eternity is going to be very harsh for them." 1 John 2:3-4. "And this is how we know, daily by experience, that we have come to know Him, if we habitually keep focused on His precepts and obey His commandments, His teachings. This is how you know that you have accepted Jesus into your heart, if you have determined in your heart to follow His commands. If you don't like parts of Jesus' precepts, His teachings, then you're not ready to follow. But if you set your heart to follow no matter what, because you're grateful even if you stumble at sometimes, some areas of life, but keep trying, you're counted as a child of God, a work in progress, covered by grace, and already saved." The key is that you're truly following your Savior. Your heart is set on Him. Verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I have come to know Him,' but does not habitually keep focused on His precepts and obey His commandments, His teachings, is a liar, and the truth of God is not in him." If you and I deliberately pick and choose what we'll obey and disregard the parts that we dislike, then we're deliberately choosing to disobey commands, precepts set by God. If we do this, we're separating ourselves from God. Does that mean no one else will be saved? Jesus says in Scripture, in various ways, that it's not up to us to decide. He will make those choices, those decisions. But it's our responsibility to make sure that we are ready when He returns. It's our responsibility to search our own heart, make sure that we're following. John 3:36. "He who believes and trusts in the Son and accepts Him as Savior has eternal life, that is, already possesses it. So if I believe Jesus is the promised Messiah and I trust that He's leading me through His Word and through the Holy Spirit in the right direction, and I set my heart on honoring him because he saved my soul, then I already have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I already have eternal life. All of those things, if I, do they have anything to do with my salvation? No. My salvation is through the work of Christ. Why does Scripture talk about it then? Because if my heart is set on Christ, my heart is going to long to please him, and I'm going to want to follow what he said. I'm going to want to do the right thing. I'm not going to want to dig through Scripture and line it up so that I can do the things that Scripture says not to do and feel good about it. If my heart is set on Christ, then I'm going to want to please him. And if my heart is set on Christ and I want to please him, then I'm going to do these things. I'm going to try to do the right thing. I'm going to search through his word and try to figure out what those right things are and what the wrong things are so that I'm not walking blindly through the world. The verse continues, but he who does not believe the Son and chooses to reject him, disobeying him and denying him as Savior, will not see eternal life, but instead the wrath of God hangs over him continually. Where are those who choose to be disconnected from God going to spend eternity? We all know the answer to that one. God created everything, the heavens and the earth. He created in love. He created to bless. He created for good. But some don't want God. Many choose not to believe, so it's easier to do as they please. I don't say this to, I guess the word would be to be condescending to people. A lot of people don't believe in God, not because they really don't believe in God. They don't believe in God because they know that there's things that they're doing that they want to keep doing. And they know that the Word of God says not to. And so if I don't believe in God, then I can keep doing what I want to do. And God created a space in eternity that is separated from his love. We call it the lake of fire. And it is where people will be who choose to be separated from God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Somehow I went backwards, so we needed to hear that again. 1 John 3:9-10. No one who is born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin because God's seed, his precept, his principles of life, the essence of his righteous character, remains in him who is born again, who is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. If you are born again and the Holy Spirit is living inside you, you will feel conviction. When temptation enters your mind, you will feel an ache in your heart when you do something wrong, and you will work towards righteousness, not towards separation from God. When I first came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I began to experience the Holy Spirit working in my heart, leading me to do things that I didn't understand, but doing them anyways, and seeing the glory of God revealed before my eyes by just following the prompting that I didn't understand, by trusting God and saying, okay, God, I've seen you move before, and I feel like this is you leading me to do this, to say this, to help this person, to step out and comfort this person, to do whatever, to give money to this person. But I don't understand why. I'm going to do it anyways because I trust and have faith that you're leading me to do this. And if I obey you and do it, then I'll get blessed by seeing your hand move in somebody else's life. And so I started doing these things. And when I did these things, I was encouraged. But we don't only get encouragement by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get conviction. And so in that same period of time, I would be talking to someone, telling them a story, telling them how something went, how a conversation went, how a day went, whatever. And then I would go off to do whatever other part of my day, and it would hit me that what I just told that person wasn't 100% true and could lead to them misinterpreting the real facts of the story. And so I became a regular at recontacting people and saying, I don't want you to misunderstand what I was saying. I don't want you to think that it was like this when it was really like this. When the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, when He's truly speaking to us, there will be times where He prompts us to do good things, and there will be times where He pulls at our heartstrings that something's not right and we need to make a change. The verse continues, and he who is born again cannot habitually live a life characterized by sin because he is born of God and longs to please Him. This is why we choose not to sin, not to lie, not to deceive, not to damage and destroy. This is why we choose not to elevate ourselves while knocking others down, because we long to be pleasing to God, to our Savior, to the Spirit that's come to reside in our hearts. So should our hearts have any darkness in them? Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are clearly identified. Anyone who does not practice righteousness, who does not seek God's will in thought, action, and purpose is not of God. Did you know that these things are clearly wrote out in Scripture? That we can follow God or we can follow the devil? That our thoughts, our words, our actions identify who we're following in the moment. That our thoughts and purposes behind our actions, our motives, identify the condition of our heart. If our heart is overflowing with hurt, anger, and bitterness, if it's overflowing with darkness, is the Holy Spirit really welcome in our heart? Is there things that we need to remove from our heart so that the light can get in? The verse continues, nor is one who does not unselfishly love his brother. Are you in a place where you can elevate someone else above yourself? Does it twist your heart to see someone else succeeding? Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 says, for it is impossible to restore to repentance those who have once been enlightened spiritually and who have tasted and consciously experienced the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted and consciously experienced the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. It is impossible to bring them back again to repentance. Does this scare you? Does it scare you for anybody around you? Here's the warning. If a person comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and instead of grabbing a hold of the precepts, the teachings of Christ, wraps grace around, continuing in their old ways, basically convincing themselves that I'm saved no matter what I do or don't do, then there's nothing left for them but eternal judgment. They believe everything will be okay and will never turn fully to Jesus. There's no repentance left in their future. If I set in my heart that I came to the altar of a church and I acknowledged and professed with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and then I grab a hold of Scripture that says nothing can take you out of His hand, and I run with that and never look for all this other Scripture that I've put together in these packets, then I'm going to continue in my life as it is because I believe that I said these words and nothing's going to take me out of His hands, and I'm never going to set my heart on following Jesus. That's the whole basis for this whole packet. It's the whole basis. if we never set our heart on Jesus, He's never going to be our Lord and Savior. The condition of your heart, who is in your heart, is important. If you are following Jesus, He has sent the Holy Spirit to guide you. The Holy Spirit in you is going to bring conviction when you use harsh words, because Scripture says that's not of God. And the Holy Spirit's not going to be happy with it. And you're not going to feel right about it. And repentance will come from that. You will recognize that it's not of God, and you will choose to turn and follow God instead of following the world that says, these words express what I'm feeling right now, so it's okay. Scripture says it's not okay, so I'm going to turn from them. And I'm going to follow Scripture instead of the world. That's where the repentance comes in, because it is the change. But it's not the change that earns our salvation. It's the change that comes because we recognize that our Savior paid that debt for us. Verse 6, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to bring them back to repentance, since they again nail the Son of God on the cross. For as far as they are concerned, they are treating the death of Christ as if they were not saved by it, and are holding Him up again to public disgrace. If you recognize that Jesus was whipped, beaten, spit on, and killed to pay for the things that you did wrong, but feel that it's okay to continue doing things that God's Word says not to do, or not to do things that His Word says to do, if you feel it's okay to do more of what Jesus paid for, what are you doing? You might as well be standing at the foot of the cross, yelling, here, Jesus, how about this too? Here, pay for this one too. It's a dramatic way to express this. But what I just read to you from Hebrews 4:6, this is what it's saying. Why would we continue, if we believe that Jesus paid for our sins in this way, to choose to follow those sinful actions? Romans 8, 5 through 9. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. This is exactly why people continue in sins to gratify ourselves. What I want. This is what I want, so I'm going to take it. I'm angry, so I'll do what I want now and get right with God later. I'm hurt, so I'll ignore God's precepts till I feel better. God, heal me, or I'll keep defying you. People who set their heart and mind on God set their heart and mind on following His teachings, no matter what the typical worldly response would be. Verse 6, now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. If you can look an offense in the face and remind yourself that God's Word tells me where this is from, who this is from, and what purpose it has, the devil is trying to steal from me. If you can remind yourself of things like this and say, no thanks, I'm keeping my peace, my joy today, you'll walk in peace that God has planned for you. Verse 7, the mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. The mind that is against God is the mind that is still self-seeking. It cannot give in to God because it would have to release things that it's not ready to let go of yet. And so it does not understand the real treasures that are stored in God's Word, just waiting for His followers to receive them. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. People who are still holding on to this that God's Word tells us to release and to separate ourselves from, these people cannot please God. Whether they call themselves Christians or not, whether they come to church or not, they cannot please God because they are holding in their heart things that are opposite from Him. Verse 9, however, you are not living in the flesh controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him and is not a child of God. John 8:31 through 32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My word, continually obeying My teachings and live in accordance with them, then you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from sin and its penalty. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. 1 John 2:3, and this is how we know daily by experience that we have come to know Him, to be more deeply acquainted with Him, if we habitually keep focused on His precepts and obey His commandments, His teachings. In John 10:27 through 30, the sheep that are My own hear My voice and listen to Me. I know them and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one in essence and nature. So how did this verse start? The sheep that are My own, they hear My voice and they listen. I know them and they follow Me. Those are His and no one can snatch them out of His hand. Our message today had a lot of scripture to it, and there was a purpose for all of this scripture. And it's because I can stand up here and I could tell a story showing that there should be a difference in my heart because the Holy Spirit's in me. And you could walk out of here and not receive anything. Or you could walk out of here and you could talk to someone else who says, but no one can take you out of Jesus' hand. We just read that scripture. Was there more to that scripture? We read a lot of scriptures that said that there will be people who will get to the gates. They will leave this world and they will stand before Jesus and they will think that they've done everything. They were a good person. And good people go to heaven, right? Did the sinner on the cross next to Jesus, was he a good person? Did he go to heaven? How did he get into heaven? Because Jesus paid his debt. It doesn't matter how good you are. Your works aren't getting you into heaven. But in a lot of the scripture we read today, it does matter how good you are. Not that it's going to get you into heaven, but it identifies who you're following. And if we're not following Jesus, then how are we going to get into heaven? Because He said, only those who follow Jesus will enter heaven. I'm concerned that I put too much out today and that I left people behind. And so I am going to pray that God continues to work in your hearts. For anyone who is confused about what was shared today, please ask. Please search Scripture. Don't leave here confused. For those of you who do understand Scripture, who do spend time in Scripture, a lot of these would be reminders for you. And so my prayer is that they've sat in your hearts. And if somebody comes up to you and says, it's okay, you'll know if it is or not. So let's pray. Lord God, your word is full of wisdom. We use big words like precepts and commandments and stuff, but it's what you wrote down so that we would know how to follow you. It doesn't have to be difficult. You sent your Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of everyone who sets their heart on following you. And that Holy Spirit, He leads us in right and wrong. He leads us in following you and doing as you would do. He prompts our heart. He makes our heart ache when we turn from you. Lord God, as we search your scriptures, please open our eyes. Please open our minds, which are easy to shut by the ways of the world, so that we don't have to hear and we don't have to follow and we don't have to give in. We can do it our way. There's reasons for why you say, don't do this. There's reasons for why you say, do this. It's not to micromanage our lives. You give us the freedom to obey or not to obey. But it's because there's dangers. It's because there's hurt. It's because there's things you don't want us to experience that you put these things down in writing so that we can receive them. And Lord God, as we went through Scripture today, we see in Scripture where you say that there will be people thinking they're going to spend eternity with you. And it's not going to happen. And my prayer today, Lord God, is that no one here, no one who hears this message later, we'll misinterpret Scripture and leave out all of these Scriptures that we've just shared today. All these writings that are in your Holy Word that give us warning that we do have the freedom to choose to follow you or not to. And in that freedom to choose, we could find ourselves spending eternity separated from you. Your word over and over again tells us to choose to follow you, to set our hearts on you, to set our eyes on you. Help us to do that, Lord God. Help us to surrender the stubbornness in us that wants what we want. Help us not to search for ways to keep going in the direction that we've been going, because it's the way I've always been. And God loves me anyways. That's wrote in your word too. And it says that you do love us anyways. And nothing can take your love away. But your word also shows us that we can choose to walk away. And this message today is so that we won't do that. So help us, guide us, grow us, and teach us, Lord God. Teach us your truth and help us to follow the very best we can. And thank you for all the grace that you've promised for all those who believe in you that will help us back up when we mess up. The righteousness that you have, that you wrap us in, so that we can come boldly to the throne, so that we can pray to our Heavenly Father, so that we can stand before Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the work you did for us. Please continue to draw our hearts to you. Help us to follow and help us to obey. In your mighty name, Jesus, we ask this and thank you. Amen.